So last week we talked about planting seeds. Now this week we're talking about pulling weeds. The two go together. Every gardener knows that planting seeds is the easy part of having a successful garden. It takes much more time, though, and it's time-consuming to weed that same garden. It's hard work. As someone once said, when weeding, the best way to make sure you're removing a weed and not a valuable plant is to pull on it. If it comes out of the ground easily, it's a valuable plant. Then comes this thought: to distinguish flowers from weeds, simply pull up everything. What grows back are the weeds. Our gospel lesson today is a cautionary tale of the perils of telling right from wrong, good from bad. Jesus couches this lesson in a story about a farmer sowing a crop, and his enemy at night sows weeds among the wheat. And apparently this was a common occurrence in those days. Workers were dismayed and wanted to pull up the weeds right away, but the farmer says, wait, because in pulling up the weeds, you will also pull up the wheat as well. Now the Greek word translated as weed here is refers to a plant that was very common in Jesus' day. It was a kind of plant named darnel that grew in Palestine even to this day. Looks like wheat, but doesn't bear edible grains. In fact, it bears poisonous fruit that can lead to death. The weeds in the wheat sow are nearly impossible to tell apart. Moreover, when the plant had matured enough to tell the difference between the two, the roots of both plants had become so intertwined, yes, in the ground, that pulling up the weeds would also uproot and kill the wheat. The farmer simply must let nature take its course until it's harvest time. So Jesus is teaching us two things at once. Yes, evil exists in our world alongside the good. Second, premature attempts to eradicate what is evil and bad can harm the good. The workers wanted an instant solution, but the farmer knew the roots were mixed and pulling up would destroy the wheat. And so the question for us is, what does this mean for us today? Do we just sit by and let evil raise its ugly head around us unabated? No. Jesus' parable reminds us that while weeds and wheat coexist, our job is to be faithful workers, not impulsive judges. This is a hard call and takes a lot of spiritual discipline and discretion. Because, you know, we all know we live in this world of social media and artificial intelligence that makes the weeds even more, look like the wheat even more so, right? Weeds are planted faster and camouflaged better than ever. A rumor, a scandalous clip, a reel can explode across platforms in minutes. And that speed tempts us to judge immediately. It is said that nearly 70% of us report encountering fake news on social media. Huh? Yeah? Does that sound about right? And almost 40% of us unknowingly share unverified or false stories. Unintentionally. Huh? Can you trust even these statistics? Are they higher or lower? Who knows? Have you ever been drawn into a story and experienced the outrage of that story only to find out later it was false or embellished? I know I have. So when Jesus says, let both grow together until the harvest, it's not a call for us to passivity. It's not condoning evil. It's a call for us to have discerning, wise patience. We must not let falsehood and harm go unaddressed, but we also must not be quick to anger and unverified accusations that destroy people and relationships before the truth can be known. On the other side of the coin, there are countless stories of bright, well-regarded preachers and pastors, church leaders, community leaders who have been caught in immoral acts, affairs, theft of funds, pedophilia. I'm sure we've all heard these stories and have been shocked by them. But the problem, and it's like the same thing with the problem with the Epstein files, isn't it? That supposedly it's going to expose powerful, prominent businessmen and women in wrongdoing. And people who look upright, they look like they're outstanding citizens of the community. These are people who volunteer for Rotary clubs, who tutor unprivileged kids, who engage in other things that are good. Yet they have a sinful hidden side that they're deliberately hiding. And these church and community leaders are neighbors, our doctors, our car mechanics. So Jesus warns us here, it's hard to tell the wheat from the weeds, so sometimes even in ourselves. So instead of condemning, we are reminded that good and evil, hate and love coexist in our hearts and in out there in the world as well. So if we want to confront evil, it's good that we learn the meaning first of the saying coined by the 16th century martyr John Bradford, who said, "There but for the grace of God go I." Some might hear, "Wait until the harvest," and think that means we have nothing, do nothing until while the harm spreads. But nothing could be further from the truth. The farmer didn't ignore that there were weeds, but he tends the field with great care. He protects the wheat, keeps it watered and pruned, and when needed, and plans for the harvest. So our work, too, is to stay active, protect, restore, point out what is wrong, and confront it, and do our best to reduce or eradicate the evil while not harming the good. But we do it with humility and restraint because we're not the final judge. So, what does this mean for us here and now in a country that feels split and bruised? First, we cannot and should not try to annihilate everybody we think is wrong. The servant's impulse to pull up all the bad plants is a real temptation to us. In our time, that impulse comes, we see it all over. The calls for revenge, for canceling, for dehumanizing those who are on the other side. There are too many examples of revolutions in history that have replaced corrupt regimes and turned out even worse, huh? And in our rage at the injustice around us, we can easily dehumanize others and turn to hate, and we become what we hate. The farmer's wisdom is a warning. Justice done poorly often harms the innocent. So there is work to do to water the truth, to do the weeding near the roots, to protecting the vulnerable and build communities where wheat can flourish. And we are called to be active caretakers working for the good. So how did people who faced enormous evil in our history live this out? We can take a page from the civil rights movement. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his team taught nonviolent direct action. They confronted unjust laws and actions through peaceful protests to expose the cruelty and forge change. That Montgomery bus boycott began with courage and a refusal to give in to violence. That sustained, disciplined protest help overturn segregation on the buses. So this shows us that steady, principled action, grounded in love, can break unjust systems around us. They build communities, people who live and pray and strategize together, who show that courage can change history. So we are called to be this kind of community of compassion that demands justice without giving in to hate. Our final takeaway can be this. The parable does not say, wait for God to do it all. The farmer did not stop working, so we are called not to stop working either. We plant and water, and the key is that we resist evil in such a way without being consumed by it. That's the key. We must not be consumed by it. Let us mind our hearts and keep them out of harm's way as we seek to be brave like those peacemakers who have come before us. May we keep tending God's field, planting hope where it is needed, pulling the weeds gently where we can without crushing the wheat, and trusting that the harvest of righteousness will truly come. Amen.